Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in today. Today is Monday, and on a few more days, I'll be taking off to India. So I know I've been talking to you about it's time to put up or shut up. We're going to go out there, and we're going to do some amazing things for God, and we're going to have a great time. My address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can email me, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. Well, I hope you're going through the day and getting yourself prepared. I know it's the first day back from a good weekend, and I know that you probably had a good time at church and stuff. We're just bringing one of my very close cousins here to the church, to the station with us again. Y'all remember Mike Snow and Martha from the last time. Well, we have Mike in the studio with us, and he's from Lighthouse International. And say hi, Mike.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing tonight?
And we're all here just doing our thing that we usually do, preparing the stuff. And Mike's going to drop the subject on us, and we're going to go with that. And I want to tell you right now, if you have young listeners, to turn down the radio a little bit if you have it, speakers at the office. We're going to talk about some serious things, things that you need to know, and things that we're going to be breaking through, because I think that churches ignore certain subjects. And you know the Rev, we talk about crazy stuff all the time, and I'm not afraid to throw something out there that I know the truth on, and that I know that needs to be exposed. And it's kind of interesting how we're talking about exposed. But anyway, we're going to be dropping out of the subject in just a minute. Let me remind you of our new host coming on tonight, or actually at 4 o'clock, Mr. Dwight Allen, Dr. Dwight Allen, with On Second Look at Sports is the name of the show he does. And in fact, every day at 2:30, we're going to play one or two of his 60-second commercials or 60-second interviews that he does. And they're really good. I played the first on Thursday last week, and I really enjoyed them. They made a tremendous difference in how I would do the subject. I did not plan it out this way, but it talked about his first show that we broadcast on the air, his 60-second show, talked about in the Indianapolis Colts chaplain was actually doing an interview, and he asked the chaplain, with all that money and all those signing bonuses and all the houses and all the things that these guys get, what do you feel their need is? How is their mentality? And he goes, man, you won't believe it. And the chaplain said, these guys don't want to go home. There's no peace at home. There's fighting. There's bickering. They have everything they want in life that is tangible but God, and they have no peace at home. So we continued on that subject for a little bit, and the thing is, when you get a lot of stuff, and you don't have God, it doesn't matter what you got. I mean, you look at that British actress that killed herself about 2 months ago. She just hanged herself, had the entire career in front of her, and she just killed herself. It's amazing. When you don't have peace, when something's wrong, you know, it takes away from what you have right there. You can have everything you want, at least what you think what you want, but all you really need is God, and it's free. It's completely free. But that's why we're bringing out subjects right now. We're talking about subjects that just hopefully will change the way you think about what you do and how you act. Pastor Mike, throw out that subject to us.
Well, Rev, I really want to talk about a word that you don't hear that much about, and it's called lasciviousness. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. We'll read that scripture together right now. If you have your Bible, NIV and other versions or standards say a little bit differently, but it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Now, I know that's the NIV version, but the word that in the King James is lasciviousness. And lasciviousness is a word that you don't hear being spoke of at churches a lot. You hear maybe some Bible translations might say lust. And, you know, I would feel like that in our times together, Rev, that we could talk about some of the things that maybe a pastor doesn't feel too comfortable talking about from the pulpit. You know, one of the areas in which I found that in pastoring that a lot of people don't want to address, money is an area that, you know, is a hard area for pastors to talk about. The second area is sex. sexuality, in a generation whose sexual orientation is confusing and they're confused about it, I think it's very important for us as ministers in the church to speak out and to speak up. Just not against the things that people are doing, but why they've come up with those ideologies or mindsets and what we can do to help them bring back to the truth of God's Word. You know, I've had a lot of people in the ministry who homosexual tendencies, just different things of that nature in the sexual area that they never heard about. You know, oral sex and masturbation and things of that that is not talked about in the church. So I kind of want to address that, and I want to start off talking first of all about this word lasciviousness. And my wonderful wife Francesca, who was on the show last time, couldn't be here with us today, but she did a great job at bringing me to this point to where I understood this word a little bit better, and so I want to go ahead and bring that to you. Thank you very much. Lasciviousness means excitement towards lust. So before someone gets to a point of lust, they're lascivious. And according to this passage, it says all the acts of the sinful nature, if you participate in them, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we want people to inherit the kingdom of God. And so we'll address this. We'll look at that today. And I simplified it with causing lust, and then my wife simplified it in a word that this generation will be really familiar with. It's everywhere. It's a buzzword. Sexy.
Yep.
The word sexy. So if you're a lady, or if you're a young lady in the church and you're trying to dress sexy, you're being lascivious. And you're causing other people to lust. And we see that time and time again and have to address it. And, you know, we're a generation of, you know, want to show everything off. Everyone's into their bodies. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of themselves. Everybody wants to be in the gym. Everybody wants to have the hot body, all the plastic surgery, all the addictions to plastic surgery, and the bigger lips, and removing ribs out to make your waist smaller, and, you know, behind implants and chest implants, calf muscle implants. Guys are getting implants. Girls are getting implants. You know, Botox this and wax and shave that. I mean, just ridiculously, a generation that's just ridiculous with loving themselves.
Yes, that's true.
So, you know, when we're looking at that, you have to look at lasciviousness is arousing lust. So anything that you're around in your life that causes impure sexual desire is lasciviousness or sin.
So the swimsuit issue from Sports Illustrated?
That would be pornography.
Oh.
That's pornography.
But it causes arousement.
Exactly. Anything that causes you to be aroused is lascivious.
Yes.
So, and in this culture, we're, like we said, we're bombarded by it. You know, Revan, everywhere you go into the grocery store, you can't go through the checkout lines because what's there? Not the candy and the snacks and the gum, the junk food, but the magazines. And, you know, I won't mention names of stores, but there's several stores I don't shop at anymore.
Really?
Yes, because of all the nudity. Ladies in the bikinis, ladies wearing thongs, men with their shirts off, their pants undone. You can see, you know, all the way down their stomach, their whole torso showing. And, you know, it's kind of funny about this topic. I was, you know, really kind of took a lot of, I guess, religious pride at time in my life about purity or about virginity, you know, and keeping myself pure and waiting for my wife to have any kind of, you know, I didn't have sex before I was married. I stayed a virgin until I met my wife. But I wish someone would have done this teaching on lascivious because, you know, I had seasons of where I was bodybuilding and I started getting my muscles. And for some reason, it's the craziest thing that the more you work out, the smaller your clothes get.
Yep. It's interesting, ain't it?
It's interesting. I'll see guys that probably should be wearing extra large, but they hit the gym and they'll be end up wearing
medium, small.
Small.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and they're doing it because they like the attention. Well, anything to draw attention in that way is lasciviousness in it, and it's wrong. And, you know, I know people of the world, people who aren't saved, they may not know better. But for sure in the church, you know, we have to have a standard. We have to stand up and let people know, hey, you know what? And I'm not here to condemn a person who's just, say a young lady comes in, she's just freshly saved. She may not know better. She might need someone out of love come up beside her and say, you know, sweetheart, a godly woman doesn't have to show off what she has under her clothes. And, you know, look at a Proverbs 31 woman. You know, dress appropriately. Modesty should be the key in which how you present yourself. And then looking at not only in our dress, but also in what you entertain yourself with. I know this is a very sensitive topic because people say it's a conviction. And as ministers, we're taught in Bible college, you know, not to push our convictions on other people. And so I'm not trying to push conviction on you today. I'm really just trying to show you what the Word says about it. And I really believe that the line of conviction should be the same for everybody. That's the standard of the Word of God. If the Word says we should do this or do that, and then we should be able to all agree upon that standard. And so we need to look into that. And make sure.
I want to let everybody know that this subject is kind of tough for some of y'all. It's kind of to the point where you're like, I don't know about that. But you have to listen. You have to, because the enemy's going to want to tell you not to listen. The enemy's going to want to tell you that, oh, I've heard this before. And it's true. You may have heard this before, but it's because you're not listening that you're not getting it, my friends. You're not getting it. And we're trying to get this to you right now. Sure, you may have already bought your outfits and spent a few hundred bucks on them. But is it better to go spend a few hundred bucks on some different outfits that may not be as revealing or even revealing at all? And keep your spirituality and keep your sense of how you present yourself. I don't know how many times I've been to different functions and churches, and it's a church event, and people are dressed like, okay, well, they're wearing that at church. Well, okay, when did the bar get lowered? Or rather than that, when did the skirt get raised higher? You know?
Daisy Dukes and low cut. And I'm not, ladies, I'm not, I'm trying to give you a standard in which you can look at and say, hey, you know what? I really believe, David, here's the thing that we'll have people come up to me and they'll say, Pastor, is this inappropriate? And I always stop them right there and say, if you had to ask me,
yes,
then yes. And another one, you know, as a minister, you know, I don't want to be trying to talk to someone. I'm tall, David, you're tall, and short ladies come up, and if they're wearing what the world's wearing, if I look down at their face, I can see everything else too. And so, you know, that's not, you know, we just have to learn that, hey, we're not to compete with the world. We're not in competition with our brothers and sisters in the church.
And that's something that you have to have in the back of the mind when you get dressed. If the jeans are too tight that they look painted, is not, you're not supposed to be wearing them out there.
Yeah. Well, we say if you're showing crack, take them back. I know that's kind of a funny saying, and maybe you might want to hear that today on the radio, but, you know, hey, we're being real. And, you know, it's the standard. And I'm not trying to, I'm not asking people to wear a cardboard box. God's not asking you to wear old bag lady clothes. He's just saying, hey, be modest. Save your body. And I believe this even with swimming. I used to not, trust me, I know people from Bible college that I went to school with are listening to me. They said, man, I used to walk around all the time with my shirt off. I'd mow the grass. I was a skateboarder. I'm a surfer, a swimmer. So I'm used to just being in my bathing suit and being happy and being fine. But as I studied this word, I realized, hey, not that I would do it intentionally, but other people in the world may possibly find you attractive. And you don't want to give them the opportunity. You don't want to give the devil an opportunity. And, you know, and you don't want to be deceived today. You don't want to say, hey, you know what, I am purposely, and people do this. I know a lot of bodybuilders have this problem. They're insecure. Girls who work out all the time. People who are trying to be perfect, they're insecure about themselves, and so they are trying to get attention, and they get a high, almost a rush, of people looking at them and saying, oh, look, they checked me out. But they don't realize that they're causing that brother or that sister in the Lord or people in the world to sin.
Now, is that why someone's really flirty and everything like that? Because they have a lot of insecurity?
You know, some of it's personality, but, you know, a lot of insecurity, a lot of people who dress what I would call trendy, trying to be too trendy, trying to be too worldly, have a lot of insecurity, trying to get people to be like them, and, oh, look at me, look what I got, you know, and that's just not how it should be in the church. And I think modesty is the key, and knowing what modesty looks like according to the Bible. And see, if we compare ourselves, you know, oh, I don't want to wear a bun in my hair and wear a long dress down to my ankles, you know, of course, guys who struggle with lust can look at anything, and they do, and everything, and get their kicks off of that. I'm saying it's bad enough out there in the world to not bring it into the church house for those who are listening who are believers.
Amen. Amen. And with that, we're going to go to our first break. God bless you. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. We were having a little bit of audio difficulty, so anyway, I was trying to play some commercials, but you probably already heard them all anyway. So if y'all been listening to the show so much anyway, but I could do the commercial.
Do it live. Hey, I'm going right to India.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll try and get this all worked out. But we are doing a trip to India, and y'all know that. So we just want you to keep encouraged. If you want to give towards that, you can go to any of the donate page on any of my websites. And right there, Red Media Network, there's a donate page in front of you. You can donate. Anything you give is going to go help to the missionaries, the native missionaries that we use out there, and the Bible college and the orphanage that we have. All righty. Mike, we're talking about
lasciviousness, which means anything that causes an arousal in your flesh to want you to act out any kind of lustful behavior. It happens before lust. Lusting is an unnatural desire. It could be sexual. You know, people lusting for different things. You know, lust for food, lust for money, lust for power, lust for fame. But we're looking at this topic of in lasciviousness and lust in the area of sexuality, not only in our dress, but also in the movies we watch, the music you listen to. I don't look at any kind of love shows. And, you know, people think I'm a little bit crazy about this, but if it stirs up, you know, I know with say, ladies, you know, they're watching their soap operas about how these romantic men kissing on these ladies, and then they're comparing their husbands to these Brad Pitts on TV in this movie, or Matthew McConaughey, who came across town to swipe the lady off her feet and whisk her away or whatever, you know, and it's not real. And these ladies get mad at their husbands. Oh, you know, and comparing. You begin to not to appreciate your spouse for who they are. That's true. Know. And, you know, just as men would look at pornography and it's all fake, you know, everything's airbrushed and computerized and adult, you know, whatever, photoshopped and everything else, you know, it's not real. And so that's why it's so important for us to stay holy and pure, to keep ourselves clean in the areas of those areas as well, is just because of the fact that we want to make sure we're keeping our wedding bed undefiled and our marriage is pure and our minds thinking of our wives and husbands. And as the scripture says, you know, we should be really lost in their love, that we would not need the attention of anybody else. One of the clearest signs that we know there's problems in a marriage when we'll see a husband or a wife doing extra things to get attention. You know, I know, David, you mentioned earlier before we let off about someone who's real flirty, a flirty girl. You know, some people were outgoing. They talk, and lots of times outgoing people say they're a sanguine personality. You can look that up. They might be real outgoing, but there becomes a difference between someone who's just outgoing and then someone who's touchy-feely outgoing and really, you know, come up to you. Especially, you know, we're talking specifically in church tonight, and say if you're a lady and you're doing like talking to ladies, but you have no problem hugging and touching all the men in the church, there's a problem with that. Ladies have a problem with that. They don't want you to be dressing like a hoochie mama and to coming up and hugging their men. And so, you know, it's very important that if you are an outgoing person, be outgoing to the other ladies. If you're an outgoing man, be outgoing to the men. It's funny, we always see the outgoing people being outgoing to the opposite sex, and that becomes a danger zone.
Yep.
Especially when you start touching people, and you just need to be very careful. The Bible is very strict. I mean, it says greet each other with a holy kiss. And I say, well, until you can
say holy kiss them.
That's right, not holy kiss them. to make sure that your touch is holy. You know, and I personally, as a pastor, regard touching the opposite sex and hugging people and things of that nature just because of that. You know, you want to make sure we're living above reproach. You know, the Bible clearly says that we should have a higher standard, especially as ministers. If you're a minister watching, listening today, you need to really need to be aware of your surroundings, be aware of what you're doing, what's lascivious. Lasciviousness excites your flesh. And the Bible says the only way to handle the flesh is not to pray it out, but to crucify it.
Amen.
And anything that stirs up and you feel your flesh rising up, get away from it.
That's true.
Paul teaches Timothy, flee from the appearance of evil. So, you know, if there's a magazines, don't go near them. There's love songs that make you feel all, you know, bring up old relationships that you used to maybe date and brings up old feelings. It's not good to listen to that junk because it can bring you to a place of lasciviousness. So I'm just saying, hey, guard your heart, guard your mind in those areas. And I know, David, you know, before we leave, we jokingly mentioned one more topic that goes along with lasciviousness and it goes with lusting, is that when people, especially in the church, are dealing in lasciviousness, are arousing lustful behavior, once you arouse that and you begin to participate in the lust in your mind, you will want to act that out.
Yep.
Okay? And that's where sexual diversions and sexual perversions happen, is that you will not be able to just think about that in your mind. You will look for someone to act that out, whatever you're meditating on, whoever you're thinking about. And that's the dangers. I believe everything starts in the mind. Temptation's in the brain. The devil will tempt you in your thought life. And if you can keep your thoughts pure, then you'll keep your dress pure, what you watch pure, what you listen to pure, is your heart will stay pure. Because your eyes are the window of your soul, and so what you put into front of you, so your entertainment. But, you know, the topic that I feel that the church overlooks a lot of times, there's two of them. One is oral sex, which I won't get into tonight, but the second was masturbation. I like to call it self-abuse.
Talk about it.
Self-abuse. A lot of people call it self-love. You know, if you look at any kind of sex book or any magazine on the racks, and the you know, we don't want you to do that, but I know just by listening to other ministers and other people telling me, did you see that? They say, different popular magazines for women. And I know doing the studies I studied on about sexuality and STDs, sexual transmitted diseases, and the percentage of people who have them by 2020, and all these different things I've studied on. One of the areas in which I've noticed is that self-abuse or masturbation is not found in the Bible. And so people really don't want to talk about it. You know, I've gotten Christians, books and also secular books, and the secular people, worldly people, will say it's okay, and that you actually, not it's okay, that it's super healthy, and that you need to express yourself in that way. And if you can't learn to love yourself, then how are you going to learn to somebody else love? You know, and that's not true. You know, in that sense, that's not love. It's an abuse.
Yes, it is.
It's abusive to yourself. It actually does physical damage. It actually drains your energy, but it hurts men for sure. Men in their marriages. It causes all kinds of problems with their sex lives, with their wives. It causes all kinds of health issues to young people. It actually does the reverse, and I want you here listening carefully. People think if they'll relieve themselves, then if they'll be able to do that, that it'll make their lustfulness go away. But honestly, after counseling lots of people, and I found it just makes it worse.
Yep.
It'll make it worse. It'll make it lead, one thing leads to another. And
they become addicted to it.
And they can become addicted to it. Many,
they need to do that. They need to get to that point. And then their spouses would never satisfy them.
And they can't satisfy their spouses.
Yep.
Because of that. David, you do, Rev, you do a lot of counseling in that area. Why don't you go ahead and share a story with us as well.
About that, I don't have much of a story to share there. But on the lascivious part, I can share you a story. I was on the ship. We were in the, you know, the ships have a berthing compartment where everybody stays and lives. There was these guys that were all watching this. I think it was Donahue or which is the other guy that gets them all to fight. What's the guy?
Jerry Springer?
Yeah, I think it was that, because this is the 90s. So I don't know if Donahue was on. I'm old. I remember Donahue. So it was, they were all over there watching this stripper on television. She wasn't stripping or anything, but she was on television with Jerry Springer. And or is it? It was Monty Williams. That's the show. He had his own show, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, so I want to get this straight. And I walked in during this part. He goes, I want to get this straight. You're a stripper. You strip for a living, and you're a born again Christian. Yes. And you don't think anyone has a problem with that? She goes, no. The Bible doesn't say anything about being a stripper. It doesn't say anything about taking off your clothes in front of men. It doesn't say anything. I'm not having sex with them. And I was looking at that, and everybody started cracking up. And it was funny. It was funny. But everybody started cracking up, and I walked in. They go, okay, Rev. They go, what did you got to say about that? What can you say about that? And I just stood quiet, like, okay, what do you say about that? The Bible doesn't say much about stripping. So I went to my rack, and I got my Bible out, and I prayed. I said, God, show me something. And he took me to Galatians 5:19 right there. And it talked right there about lasciviousness. And when I read that, I just, the Spirit quickened me. I got out my Strong's Concordance, boom, broke it down, and I walked in there, and I took Galatians 5:19 to those 9 or 10 guys that were in that room watching this lady, and I start preaching and telling them about this, and they're just shocked, and then they threw me out. But, you know, it was my moment that I had right there that I could tell them that this is what God says about this subject. You're wrong, because it is wrong. And, you know, and that's when I first got introduced to that word and understood that. That was back in the 90s. And I always remember that story. Crazy story. Strippers being full born-again Christians.
Yeah, it's you know, I said it's part of it's the church's responsibility to be the moral compass to the nation. It's not the world's responsibility to be our moral compass. They're to look at the church. It's our role to bring the holy standard of God's word, and not our opinion, but God's word, not how we feel, but God's word into every circumstance and situation. You know, and unfortunately, that doesn't happen right now to all churches, and is out there that people are holding to the standard of God's word, but there's a big movement away from, you know, the holiness of scriptures, the inspiration of scriptures, you know, the authoritative word of God. A lot of people are tweaking it and watering down the word, or misquoting and mispreaching the word. And it's so important for us to get back on track with that. You know, one I know we've talked about lasciviousness. I know I brought up the, you know, probably something that people aren't comfortable with, the word masturbation on the radio waves today. And but I want to just share briefly from Winky Pratney's book called Youth of Flame. If you don't have it, get it. It's powerful. Page 118 talks about this in depth. But it just it gives you, if you're a parent, to know what to look for in your children, and to really help them. You know, I believe it's important to let children know if you can. I know it's natural to a point for children to be somewhat curious when they have sensations and feelings, but I think it's very important for the parents, if you see your child abusing themselves, to stop them and say, hey, you know, sweetheart, you don't touch yourself like that. You know, and that's something that simple will cause a child to say, oh, okay, that's not what that's for. And but in the day in we live in, with all the nastiness that's out there in the world, it's very important for us to stand up and let people know this is not right. The debate about this topic is really controversial. That's why I brought it up. You know, I'm not completely comfortable talking about it, but I know it needs to be addressed. And
no,
I think
go ahead, brother. Go
we're
ahead.
Doing a good job of that. But Winky Pratney says this about this and what it does to a person physically. He says, it is easy to recognize nothing so destroys the willpower and the energy. Habits become sloppy, the attitude insipid and melancholic. The whole personality becomes sheepish, reluctant, and embarrassed. Young men lose their personal magnetism. Young women, their attractiveness. The eyes appear without expression. The whole face takes on a vacant look. Often the person grows irritable and touchy and may try to get involved in some kind of religious activity. T- to compensate the guilt that they feel. The horrible thing about lasciviousness, lust, that leads to it all leads to pornography, leads to fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, masturbation, which is a temporary form of satisfaction from this lust that's built up in your mind. It really destroys young people. And as a youth minister, I had, you know, lots of young men coming to me and dealing with this habitual habits. And as a pastor, I've had grown men struggling with the same area. And the guilt that it's involved, the shame that it's involved. Because how embarrassing is it for someone, a young man at the church or a man at the church or a young lady at the church, go to a pastor or a pastor's wife and say, look, I'm struggling with this area. I mean, it's embarrassing, humiliating. And so that's why people don't want to talk about it. But it's very important for us to say, hey, you know what? If you know someone who's struggling with this, there's hope. You need to address the areas of their life. And I really want to give some hope today. If you're addicted, there's freedom. Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to loose the chains of bondage, even in the areas of personal and private sin and addiction. And do not believe the lie that, oh, God made me this way. God knows and he understands because I'm just too weak and I can't overcome this. That's a lie of the devil. Jesus said it's finished on the cross. He says, all power in heaven to me is given unto me to destroy the works of the devil, and you have the power to destroy that. So if you're struggling in these areas, maybe you're looking at things that are inappropriate, you need to really ask the Holy Spirit. You know, I know it's cliched. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus watch? Would you, if Jesus was physically sitting on your couch, would you watch that movie with him there? Would you be looking at that website if Jesus was right there? Because listen to me, he is there. The Holy Spirit of God is there for a moment, and the presence of God will leave you. And you say, well, I don't feel God anymore. Usually you don't feel God anymore in your heart because there's some kind of sin that you have a struggle with and you've yielded to. And it's not sin to be tempted, but it's sin to yield to the temptation. And so today I really want to look at those topics, Brother David, and really see that biblically there's no word in the scriptures for, self-hate abuse. There's no incident where someone had done that to themselves, so a lot of people don't want to talk about it. But there's the principles, like the word lasciviousness and lust and fornication.
Yes.
And purity. It's a matter of purity and cleanliness. And we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to make sure that we're keeping our temples clean and holy and pure. And so if you realize that lasciviousness is out there, and the devil is using that in this generation to get people into bondage, pornography is bondage,
yes.
Masturbation is bondage,
yes.
Sex before marriage is bondage, it will take you down. It'll imprison you to where you cannot stop participating in those behaviors. Well, the Lord's come to set people free. And today, if you're listening, God loves you so much. Jesus died on the cross.
Go ahead, keep going.
For you to be freed, for you to be delivered, for you to be healed. You don't have to. You don't have to anymore be bound up by those sinful things. You've got to, right now, give your heart to the Lord. Say, Jesus, I need help. Deliver me. He'll deliver you. Go to a pastor. Get some help. Don't struggle by yourself. Expose the sin, and it'll free you most of the time. Expose it. Confess your sin to a brother, and the Lord will touch you, and he'll set you free. Thanks, Rev, for letting me be on the show today. It's been hard, but it's been a good time, and I believe people got something out of it tonight.
Okay, we're not done yet. We're just going to try and throw a commercial on real
quick.
I think I fixed it, so hopefully we'll see this.
All right.
A 60-second look at sports with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked Ken Johnson, the chaplain of the Indianapolis Colts, how the team has been so successful with so many rookie receivers.
Coach Dungy started something when he was here, and it's my life philosophy. It's the X factor. No excuses, no explanation, high execution, high expectation, get her done. One person's tragedy is another person's triumph. In the NFL, the difference between good and great is opportunity. And these guys have been coming up through the ranks. These guys are, I mean, these are cut above. And so what gives these guys opportunity is watch them perform. And so that's what's been happening. These guys have been taking advantage of their opportunity to get in. They buy into the philosophy. They buy into the coaching style. And they get it done.
Every day is an opportunity to make a new happy ending. Dwight Allen for a 60-second look at sports.
A 60-second look at sports with your sports chaplain of the air, Dr. Dwight Allen.
Roger Wrench coached for 12 and a half years at Finley High School, Finley, Ohio, and won over 300 games, going into the regional four times. Though Coach died over 20 years ago, I remember visiting him in the hospital while he battled cancer. Every time I hear how well his son Rick Wrench is doing and building programs at Old Fort and Faustoria, I think of the many evenings we spent together in the hospital talking about the salvation Jesus Christ provides through his death, burial, and resurrection, and as his dad battled for his life. I conducted Roger's funeral at the Finley High School gym where the place was full. Roger didn't quit when hit with cancer. So don't you quit if you're being hit by the same thing, okay? At least, not today. Dwight Allen here, your sports chaplain of the air.
Hi, I'm the Reverend Peter Stanway, and since December the 21st, 2009, we've been broadcasting a program called Signs of the Times on revmedia.com every Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and repeated throughout the week. I hope by now that you've heard the program. I'd love to know what you think about it. You can get in touch with me by sending an email to peter@thewaycm.com. The Way CM, that's the Way Christian Ministries, is our charity that was set up in 1997. And you can have a look at the website by going into thewaycm.com. We'd love to know what you think about what we're doing. We'd love to know if you'd like to get involved with us at any level. We run various training courses around the world and we travel extensively on missions. Please take time to listen to the program and take time to let me know what you think. It's good to know that you're out there and we really appreciate you being there. It would be lovely to know just what you think and what you want us to do. If there's any changes that you can suggest, we take on board all your comments so that we can improve the program for everyone. So I look forward to the pleasure of your company this coming Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time in our program called Science.
Hi, this is the General Manager, David Yanez, and you're listening to Rev Media Network. I want to appreciate you for doing that. You may have listened to my show, Midwatch with the Rev, at 2 o'clock Monday through Friday, and you may have noticed that I've been talking to you about a lot of things happening and stuff, but a lot of people don't get to that 2 o'clock hour, and they may have not heard the rerun of the show. So I want to get everybody encouraged about our monthly activity report here at the station. And we've had over about 15,000 people come through the station. That's both with television and radio over this last month. And I want to tell you, of January, that's like a carryover from December. December we had a huge amount, almost 17,000-18,000 people coming through, and it was a blessing. So we, Rev Media Network, is becoming a blessing to those that go on the internet, that look for that little piece of God that they need, the little piece of faith to keep them going. And we are encouraged every time that we look at the statistics and every time that we are listening, that we can see thousands of hours going out. I'm literally out throughout the entire month, and we're a blessing in there. But I want to also let you know about our trip in India that we're taking out February 25th. I want to encourage you to give to help that. We are going to be heading out to the Orissa state of India, and we're going to be doing a great work out there. We'll be doing a two-night crusade, two-day pastors conference, and we'll be speaking as a keynote speaker at the Bible College graduation. So we're going to see some great things happening. We're going to see souls touched and people's lives changed through this ministry. But not only that, we're going to be headed to Peru, and we're going to be setting up a radio channel there too. Just like we're going to set one up in India, we're going to set one up in Peru. And it will be a blessing, my friends. It will touch people's lives. It'll change people's lives. Their signals will stream right through our websites here at Rev Media Network, and it's going to be a blessing. And a blessed venture out there. We're going to be going back and forth from time to time, year after year after year, and it's going to be a great thing. And I also want to encourage you that we got some artists coming to the station that are bringing in their music, and we're going to have a music channel. They're probably going to even host their own show eventually. We're going to have a music channel with different artists, independent artists without labels, without contracts, that are just waiting to be discovered, but also just wanted to be a blessing. So I want to encourage you to continue listening to RevMediaNetwork.com. God bless you, and well, hopefully February is just as blessed as January has been. It's been a great start to a new year in 2010, but we can't wait to see what the next month has for us. God bless you. Stay tuned to our station for more updates. God bless you again. Thank you for listening.
All right, we're back from that. God bless you. Thank you for being patient with us. You know the Rev's been having some sound problems, having a lot of sound problems this last week. You know the three computers went out, and that was something that was not planned. We don't plan to get viruses in the middle of the night. But you know what? God is doing good things. I really believe because we're trying to go to India, other than us having crappy computers. I just think that it's just not a good thing sometimes when you have too many things running and viruses going back and forth and stuff like that to each of the computers. Who knows? But I know that for all the computers to go out one by one by one, one after another, next day, next day, next day, that was crazy. We're talking about a lot of things. Talking about masturbation. We're talking about lasciviousness, and I call it lasciviousness. You call it lasciviousness. Am I pronouncing it wrong, brother?
Well, that's the Greek scholar that's here with us.
Yeah, Martha's actually just walking into the studio right now.
You're not going to get on the microphone special on these topics right now. Lasciviousness you will, but never. We'll just move on. Dave, you know, as we went to commercial, I was talking about breaking free. Breaking free from these uncontrolled desires. You know, God has given us, really important, God has given us all sex drive. Sex drive is important to have. It's healthy to have a healthy sex drive. That helps you get married. That helps you procreate, have babies.
Yeah, didn't Ed Young just talk about that, like about a year ago, about husbands have more sex with your wives? Didn't you hear that sermon he taught? He got all this exposure on prime time and on Ed Young Jr. in Dallas?
Probably so.
Yeah, and he taught that, and he got all this publicity and stuff to have more sex and stuff. So what's your take there, Mike?
I think that the man should take care of his wife for sure.
Hallelujah.
Husbands and wives, the Bible says,
Mike's
give each other.
Red as an apple.
The word says, do benevolence.
Do benevolence.
Do benevolence. I heard a minister preach about 2 hours on do benevolence. And it's true. The scriptures say that. To keep each other satisfied in that area and sacrificially give to one another. And I'm not talking about being crazy and I don't have to go there.
Too deep into your life there, brother.
Not me personally. I'm saying people out in the world they defile the wedding bed. The Bible says the wedding bed's undefiled, and that doesn't mean that you can do anything in it and force people to do things. It says keep it holy. So you should keep it holy and regularly.
Yeah, my friend from Colorado used to look at counsel, and he had this one guy that, you know, he had to look at, well, he was a pastor. He had to look at porn before he actually went and had sex with his wife.
That's not a pastor. That's a pornographer.
Yeah, and he had to counsel him. He had to counsel him, and he had to tell him that wasn't right. And he had another, I mean, you know, pastors in Colorado. He had another pastor in Colorado that he'd come out of the closet with the straps and the hood thing on. And
no,
what's it called? Dominatrix, right? Yeah, he was into that kind of stuff. And, of course, the wife wasn't, so.
Yeah, all that's perversion.
Yeah.
That comes from lasciviousness and lust and uncontrolled.
That means you don't know if you're doing it.
Uncontrolled. Absolutely. Uncontrolled sexual desire. And I want to talk about breaking free from it real quick. There's four.
Let Miss Martha speak real quick.
There's four things that we want to share with you. I'll share the first one. Go ahead, sweetheart. Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead. Four things of breaking three. The first one is start by being brutally honest with yourself and call sin for what it is. Don't say you have a problem. Don't say my weakness. Call it as sin. Pastors, if you're listening, board members, deacons, church members, do not hide it, but expose it and call it for what it is. And be honest with God. And God will show you, the Holy Spirit will show you the areas of your life that need to be changed and need to be dealt with. What were you going to say, Francesca?
What's the question?
Well, we're talking about some dominatrix pastors, and then we talked about just some crazy stuff about lasciviousness.
Christians do.
And so, you know, we just have to be aware my people right. perish for lack of knowledge. And we are perishing.
We are.
And you know, you see the signs in the church, you see what's going on, and you hear stories about pastors, you hear how many pastors watch pornography, how many pastors are having affairs these days, how many pastors, and what do we expect from the church? I mean, they're going to do worse than what the pastors are doing. And yeah. You know, we have to do something.
Is that the lascivious spirit that draws the preacher away?
Well, you can't drive down the freeway without having lasciviousness being thrown at you. You can't turn your TV on without it being thrown at you. You can't anything.
It's on your cell phone.
You can't look at the Christian youth channel without lasciviousness being thrown at you. You know,
certain
the guys
artists
are trying to be sexy. The girls are trying to be sexy, making those
Google eyes the
at
camera.
You know, the girls are, you know, suggestive in the way they look. I mean, if I had a problem with lust and I'm looking at an attractive guy and he's singing a song and he's looking into the, you know, the camera and with his little dreamy eyes, I mean, you know, that might be a problem. And I can imagine why there's so much sexual sin, because look at everything we're getting fed, even on our Christian television. And I just don't think they know. They don't know. They don't know that guy, girl, you know, I know you're singing about God, but what does that have? Why do you have to look at me like with those hungry eyes?
With those hungry eyes.
What does that have to do with Jesus?
Their shirts.
What does your tight shirt have to do with your message of... And that's what lascivious. It is anything that excites or turns you on.
So, Martha, you've heard us talking about this, and you heard Pastor Mike's definition. What would be your definition? I know you're started on definition, but what would be your definition?
It would be anything, absolutely anything, that stirs up lust, that stirs it up. So if it's the way you touch somebody, the way you flirt, the way you make your eyes, being overly sexy, looking at something that turns you on, I would say that's what lascivious is. It's not because next will come lust. Next will come the act. Next will come, you know, you think you're making love, but you're really making lust because you are full of lasciviousness. I mean, there is a world. The world has words for these things, which I will not use. But I mean, basically, it's to turn someone on.
So where does lust start and lascivious end?
Lascivious starts first.
Okay.
It's anything that causes you to feel your fleshly arousal. Now, lust happens when you pick up on that fleshly arousal and run with it and begin to meditate on it and begin to act out of, whether it be fornication, masturbation. You know, and Dr. Cole says even with husbands and wives, they can have, you could be having sex with your wife and still be masturbating because you're not thinking about them. You're not in it to love them. You're thinking about someone you saw on TV. That is wrong. That's sin.
Or you may not be thinking about them at the time. You may have got excited watching something.
And carrying off that excitement to relieve yourself.
Yeah.
That's lascivious. You know,
the world says it this way.
Go ahead.
I don't care where he gets his appetite as long as he eats at home.
Yeah, you know, I heard that before.
That's disgusting.
And that's disgusting. Go ahead, sweetheart.
You know, I also heard it said as long as they're just window shopping and they don't buy.
Okay, but that's lasciviousness.
That. Yeah, that's right. I've
and
heard
that's
that.
Sin. And that's sin. And so that's what we're saying. I mean, and we make, you know, you can't make light of those things sometimes, you know, because when you look at this word, it is saying this will keep you from going to heaven. And I would question someone. I would say, do you really believe the word of God when it says that you doing these things, that you doing anything and watching shows, watching love stories, love scenes, letting that cause lustful feelings in you, stirring it up, would cause you to go to hell? Do you truly believe that?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people will watch a scene, and then that will get them ready to when they get home.
Why do you think the women watch some of the soaps? I mean, yeah, that's like their pornography. And I always tell my women,
those soaps are addicting.
You know, but it is like female pornography. I even heard the secular world saying that the Twilight New Moon, that whole series, is female pornography. It's the female what is that, purple pill for men?
Viagra.
It's the female Viagra. Because
really,
yes, because it stirs up lasciviousness in them.
I only seen the first one. Did y'all see any of them?
No. Oh.
Well, for that very reason. Okay. I mean, if it's something that, you know, I'm going to watch this show and it's going to make me think, okay, well, my life is boring and my love life, and where's my, oh, he looks, how passionate he looks at her. I mean, it's not real. It's a movie.
Yeah.
But yet we are going to look at this movie and then we're going to go home to our husband and say, you don't love me like he loves her. It's a movie. Just like I would say to the men, that lady that you're looking at is not real. That's airbrushed. She don't look that way.
What if when someone has a crush on someone that they see on TV? What would you think about that?
Well, what is the crush? I mean, what do you mean by crush?
Like they think, oh, he's so cute. And He's hot. He's handsome.
If they look at someone, well, okay, if I thought someone was hot, then that would mean if I look at them, then I would probably start feeling lascivious.
It goes back to, do they turn you on? That's the key.
What, isn't that what a crush is?
Yeah.
They turn you on.
Because you get that Rudolph thing going, I'm cute.
You know, and that's how affairs happen. That's how affairs happen. That's how people step out of relationships, their marriages and things of that, because the fact of they have a crush. TV, some at the office.
You get bored, you know, You think, oh, look at home. It's kind of, we've been married for so long and there ain't no spices. And so, you know, she needs to look at these love shows and he needs to look at whoever he looks at to get some kind of excitement to bring home, you know. And that's what God is saying. That is not holy.
And nowadays, you see a lot of ministers falling into that.
But why? And I keep going back to this. When no one taught me this word, when I pulled these acts of the sinful nature, I went one by one in the Greek study. What exactly? If it was lust, and it hit me. There's four. There's fornication, adultery. It says lewd. It has. I don't have the Bible up, but there's like four of them. And I said, well, why don't you just say one? Why wasn't it just lust? Obviously, there is a difference in the meanings. And when I start looking up the meanings, I was amazed and shocked that being modest is pretty much why we get, hey, be modest. No one teaches this. I've never heard anyone teach this. David, just like you said with your experience, God's Holy Spirit had to come and say, what is wrong with being a stripper? In that passage, I also found clubbing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
In that passage, I also found competition.
Clubs are basically strip clubs and
clubbing. It says, you know, the word debauchery, you know, it means coming together and dancing and with music.
Revelry.
Revelry. There it
goes.
The word
is revelry.
Revelry. And I mean, you see, and that's what some translations, they don't say exactly. That's why you have to study. And there was even another one about emulations, which is a spirit of competition, trying to be better than anybody God is saying is wrong.
Sounds like we've got some good topics for some more shows.
You know, yeah, and so when you read and you study, but this is where lasciviousness...
She gets going when she gets going. I love it.
Emulations come, and I say, like the women, it almost gets this competition, even in the church. Who can be the thinnest? Who can be the best dressed? Who can be the sexiest? Who can have the... You get how this competition... I mean, you have everybody giving attention to this lascivious woman, and the other women are going to say, look, hey, you know, her skirt got shorter. Guess who's coming next Sunday and find all the other women with short skirts? It'll spread. I mean, someone has to teach the truth.
It has to be addressed.
I'm so tired of turning on the Christian channel and seeing women's cleavage.
Yeah.
I don't even watch it anymore.
Hello.
I don't even watch it anymore.
We are proud to say we have no cleavage on Rev Media Network.
Hallelujah.
I mean, and I question, like, is something wrong with me? Or is that still
even
not...
In the church, the thing of the church is that men have dominated lots of the ministry, and men have dominated lots of the culture, and men have said, boys will be boys, and the other phrase, well, that's how God made us. just because you're turned on by sight doesn't mean you're supposed to be turned on by everything you see.
Yeah.
And yes, God has made us to be turned on by sight, but it should be sanctified. And they said, just because, you know, looking with the eye, you know, Jesus said, if your eyes cause you to lust, you should pluck it out. So, what do y'all think about that? When I've heard people come from counseling and say, hey, my pastor said, all guys do it. It's okay to look. Just don't touch. And just don't tell your wife.
Well, the reason the pastor's saying that is because he's doing it. I mean, I'm standing here and saying you can be free. Jesus said, he didn't say I came to set you free so that you could keep sinning and be in bondage to lust and be in bondage to lasciviousness. He said, I came to set you free, not only from hell, but to live a life of freedom. What kind of Christian life would it be that I'm going to spend the rest of my life, you know, being bound by a desire for men, every man I see? I mean, I'm in bondage, am I not?
Bondage.
Jesus said, I came to set you free. Now, the truth is that you have to first hate the sin in order to be free. I always tell someone, would you be tempted by something you hate? And the answer is no. I will never be tempted to eat seafood or raw meat. Raw. I will never be tempted because it's disgusting to me. Now, how can you be tempted unless you have a desire for that thing?
True.
And so I come and I tell these men and women, you still have that because you've not learned to hate it. You like it. And when you really mean business, you mean business. If it was some kind of disease or cancer or something, you wouldn't be playing with that. You wouldn't be like meditating on these things and, oh, let me just get around the poison and let me play with the poison. You know it's poison. The thing is, it's like there's no fear. There's no fear of the consequences. There's no, you know, and that's why I come back. Do you believe that it's a sin? And do you still believe in sin? Do you still believe that we're going to be all held accountable for what we do and for what we know? And you know, this one, like I said, us as pastors, I would say, man, we need to get back to studying our Bible. I mean, what do you think about?
I mean, I know you're on a roll, sweetheart, but I've heard guys say, number one, I said, oh, God made us this way. It's okay. The second thing that I would say is that they would say that, it's like I'm looking at a car. I'm just appreciating the handiwork of the Lord.
I've heard some foolish people, ministers, telling me that when they're in the airport, and if people hear this, and they'll know, oh, check her out, honey. She's fine. And when I heard that, I said, that is foolish. What are you talking about, check her out, honey? She's fine. And these people are two mega pastors. Well, they're divorced now, and I tell you why. Because it's check out her out, husband. She's fine. You're a fool to think he's just going to be checking them out. That is lasciviousness. And when he looked at her, he was turned on by her. And guess what? In your mind, that is going to lead you to things. That's going to lead you to affairs. Something has to be holy. You know, just like he says, the emotions God gave us. He gave us anger. And it could be a good thing, but it doesn't mean that we can go around being angry all the time. He gave us these feelings for passion, but he didn't give us the feelings for this lustful thing that drives us. And God gave us jealousy. And one thing that in my studies that I learned, when someone tells me, if Mike will tell me, you know, you can go talk to all the guys you want, I'll never be jealous, I would question his love for me. You know, I really would, because I always wondered, if we can't be jealous, God, why are you? And it wasn't until I studied, and there was actually in the Old Testament, it talks about a spirit of jealousy coming upon a husband. And, you know, that was a sign to the wife, I mean, to the husband, that you need to check what your wife is doing. Because when that jealous spirit comes upon you, it could be a sign that she's cheating on you. And so we as women and we as men, when you're feeling like, my husband, what are you doing? How is it okay that you're not jealous of your lover, that he would be looking? And God says, if you look at someone lustfully, you've committed adultery with him. How is that okay?
It's not okay. You know, as a guy, most all guys at one time struggle with mastering this in their life. And lots of guys don't. They keep it. And they're the ones who fall into problems.
It's not just guys,
until girls too, but I'm saying until in my own heart, said, hey, this is truly adultery. I remember as a young man, as a Christian, you know, saying, well, my excuse was, oh, I'm looking for my wife. I got to check out to find the right one. And I know, and I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that now, but a lot of people like that. Well, I got to find, I got to see, you know, oh, I'm looking for, the, oh, there's this perfect person, this perfect body and this and that. And the excuse was, oh, because I'm looking for my wife. You know, when I was first saved, I thought it was how horrible to look at someone in that attentions. Mm-hmm. But then I'd given myself an excuse. And people have given themselves excuse to say, hey, it's okay to sin. And it isn't until you stop and realize that Jesus said it's adultery. And people say, oh, no, it's not the same, it's not the same, it's not the same. But honestly, the Lord does see it the same if you read that passage. You know, he's so serious about it. He really means if you are, your eye, if you will not and cannot stop lusting after people, you need to really physically pluck your eye out. That was not metaphorically, it was not symbolism. He was honestly saying, that was so horrible, it's better for you to pluck your eyes out and make it to heaven than for you to struggle.
I think about the little life that you live here. It's just small. It's small. And I always wondered that. It was, Lord, are you serious? I mean, really? You would want us to pull our eyes out? And, I mean, David, what do you think?
I think that'll hurt. But, yeah, that's what you have to do. I mean, because if it's going to lead you astray, then you better start. That's the simplest way put. It's easier to take care of that than physically, and you may be in pain, but it'll keep your spirit clean. Mm-hmm. And that's what God, that's really the main point of that, was it'll keep your spirit clean. It'll keep your mind and your heart pure. Mike, let them know your church service times. We're about to close out this one.
Lighthouse International Outreach Church in Houston, Texas. We are at 916 Boundary, Boundary. Zip code is 77009. You can check us out on web at Transformation Youth Center, because we also have a youth center, and then our website will be coming soon. It'll be linked to that. So Transformation Youth Center, it gives you the address, phone number, how to contact us. TransformationYouthCenter.com. I'm sorry. And that'll also, we have a PayPal account if you'd like to support the youth center. We're really happy about what the Lord's doing through the youth center, reaching out to teenagers and children with skateboarding, breakdancing, martial arts, and just loving on them. And so we appreciate Les being on the show. It's always our pleasure. And it was so nice for Francesca to finally get on the microphone, making the show even better.
Absolutely. And she hopefully drove the show there. She drove it.
Right, I know there. She always does. And so we miss you on the first 30 minutes.
Want to say bye to everybody?
Bye.
She's awesome. She's a great woman of God there.
She is. Amen. Thanks
Mike.
Again.
Thanks, Mike. Well, that was Mike and Martha Snow, pastors of Lighthouse International. If you have time, you need to go visit them. I'm the Rev. This is the Midwatch. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you. Remember, our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can reach me, the Rev, at midwatch.com. God bless you. See you next time. Oh, 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 oh